Welcome to Over the Rainbow, a safe space and voice for all queer identities. I'm your host, Rachel Keithley, and I use she, her pronouns. Every other Wednesday, we bring you new episodes dedicated to queer education, representation, and activism. Welcome to Over the Rainbow, Chris Angel. I always like my guests to introduce themselves, so do you want to go ahead?
Sure. Yeah. Sometimes I prefer that because with the kind of work that I do, I've noticed, you know, when people are singing happy birthday to you and you're like, oh God, what do I do? That's how I feel when people are introducing me. Like they're just like talking about me and I'm just sort of sitting there like, okay. So yeah, my name is Chris Angel Murphy, but I go by Chris Angel. And my background is in LGBTQ plus community organizing, social work, and training. I've been doing this kind of work for over 14 years, and it's really rewarding. And I originally grew up in Los Angeles, California, but these days I live in Denver, Colorado. And I'd say some other important things to know about me are I am queer, trans, non-binary, and ADHD.
Awesome. And what are your pronouns so the listeners are aware?
Thank you so much for asking. Mine are they, them.
Awesome. Thank you very much. So today our episode is going to be talking around trans 101. So we're going to be exploring what gender is, some trans experiences. We're going to maybe explore some of the appropriate questions as well as some inappropriate questions to ask trans people. And then we'll finish off by sharing how we can be an ally to trans folk and also hopefully share some resources for trans folk too. But first, let's start by sharing something we've done this week, either to engage in queer education or activism. So do you want to go first or shall I?
Yeah, I can go first. I mean, when I thought about this question, I kind of laughed because it's the nature of my work. So like every day, I'm probably doing at least five things. Yeah, like yesterday, I did a training for an organization around pronouns. You know, right now, I'm working on some new educational reels for Instagram. So every day, I'm, especially during the work week, I'm working on projects or meeting with people to discuss new projects or get them finished, which is a big deal for an ADHDer. So yeah, what about you?
That's huge. Yeah, and great example. I mean, like you, my whole life, it just kind of revolves around my queerness and activism. I went to Manchester, which is a city in the UK, and they have one of my favorite independent queer bookshops there. So it's called Queer Lit. And it was their 1 year sort of anniversary of opening. So they were cracking open the champagne or Prosecco for those who drink. And it was just generally this really welcoming, warm vibe of queer people and allies. And obviously I couldn't go into a bookshop and not buy books. So I also came away with two books. So I bought Gideon the Ninth, which is by Tamsin Muir, and Crier's Wall, which is by Nina Varela. I hope I'm saying their name right. So I'm really, really excited to read those and also to support a queer-owned independent shop as well.
I love that. That's amazing. Yeah, it's really hard not to go into a bookshop and be like, and I need this one and that one. And yeah, whew.
I know, especially when the entire shop is queer. It's like, it's begging for you to buy the whole thing.
I know. I'm like, look at you wearing your pronouns button. I have to buy like five more books. Like, I just, it's very affirming and very exciting. So yeah, I can go off the rails with that.
Amazing. Awesome. Right. Well, let's get on with the show. So I always like to start these educational episodes with a little bit of a definition, a baseline understanding, if you like, for people who maybe aren't familiar. So what is gender? What is gender identity? And I guess within that, what is gender expression?
Absolutely. I want to start by saying that here in the States, one of my favorite resources is PFLAG. And PFLAG National, they also have over 400 local chapters across the states. They do a really great job because they're all independently run and they'll have various resources based on the geographical location. They do advocacy, they do education, they do the support groups. So really love them. And one of my favorite things they do is on PFLAG National's website, they have a glossary of terms and they update it every so often. And each definition offers a lot of nuance. And I share that because there can be so many different definitions. And if someone is looking for a reputable resource to get started on a term that's maybe new to you, that's under the LGBTQ plus umbrella, pflag.org/glossary is where I send folks. So that said, the other disclaimer I want to offer is that everyone's going to have their own definition of that. And so I'm not trying to say mine are any better or worse than someone else's. So that out of the way, my understanding of gender is that it's a social construct and it's norms, behaviors, and roles that we expect from people. It can vary across cultures and the ideals can shift over time. An example of that is, and I wish I had it in front of me, but I don't know. Pretty early in the 1900s, there was this journal that basically said that pink was better for boys and blue was better for girls because pink comes from red, which they considered to be a stronger color. And they thought that blue was more dainty, so it should be for girls. And that's very much changed present day. And so that's just an example of something that we can forget that can shift. And all of this is just made up. So then when you start getting into gender identity, it's who we know ourselves to be internally. So our internal sense of if we're a man, woman, non-binary, genderqueer, gender fluid, agender, and beyond. There's so many different gender identities. The expression piece is how we express our gender. So that's including aspects like mannerisms, clothing types and cut, colors we wear, hairstyles. All of that is how we're trying to communicate our gender to the world. And it may or may not line up with people's expectations.
Thank you. I think both the disclaimers and the definitions there were absolutely fantastic. And we will definitely be linking PFLAG's resources to the show notes. But for, I mean, UK people and international people can absolutely access PFLAG, but specifically in the UK, we've got Stonewall as well, which offers very similar resources in terms of updating their glossary constantly. Every time I go back on there, I'm learning something new about the full spectrum of gender and sexuality. So that absolutely is a helpful basis, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I guess from there, obviously, I would assume you've had a similar upbringing to myself in the sense that you've been maybe preconditioned to learn that gender is binary and that sort of cisgender identities are the only way to be. And we now know that that is not the case. We know that sex and gender are not always aligned and it's far more complex. So from that, what does transgender mean?
One of those things, and I'm not going to say it for each definition, but also want to double down that trans has a lot more nuance as well. One of the more commonly used definitions that I've seen and use myself is when, just like you mentioned, someone's sex assignment at birth, which is usually done by a doctor, they usually base it on external genitalia that they can see. It's when the sex assignment at birth is not in alignment with someone's gender identity. However, where that starts getting tricky is there are people who can be stealth, which means that they don't share their trans identity with other people, except for maybe close loved ones and medical providers. There's also folks that, even though technically they fit the definition that I just described, they don't claim the term trans or transgender or don't consider themselves to be transgender. And so that's where it can get really complicated. And I guess I just wanted to offer that one of the most important pieces of this is not only defining things for ourselves, but also claiming an identity or not, whether, you know, it resonates or if it doesn't.
Yeah, that's such a critical piece. I think we see that discourse among and between identities, don't we, where particular labels are policed and it's said, well, you're not expressing yourself in that way, or you're not defining yourself through this very narrow construct, therefore you don't get to use that label, or you don't get to call yourself X, Y, or whatever it is. And I think it is very important that whatever resonates and feels right for you absolutely is who you are, because like you said, it's all socially constructed anyway, so the way we want to construct our identity is the most important factor in this.
Yeah, and then that's why it gets really dangerous and tricky when we hear of certain arcs and only those arcs, because some folks believe that the way to be trans is that you have to feel like you were born in the wrong body. Well, I don't that's not my narrative. That's not how I would describe myself, or that it's based on how dysphoric you are in your assignment at birth. And that's not really a great and empowering way of looking at it either. I try to think a little bit more about what brings me gender euphoria and focus on that. And then there's also folks who maybe they've done some sort of transition. And, you know, I know we're going to talk about that pretty soon here, but some folks feel that once they've completed any sort of medical transition, that then they no longer consider themselves to be transgender because they feel complete, they feel, you know, in alignment now. And so, yeah, it's a super complicated thing. And that's why I don't blame people for not knowing what these terms mean, what these definitions mean, and getting stuck with media perpetuating. Words are hard, perpetuating these same stories that, you know, all trans people are going to be disowned by their families or face all these struggles, or there's things like medical gatekeeping. I know that in the UK and certain other countries, there's a lot of medical gatekeeping. And even if you know that, for example, medical transition is part of what you want to do, you're sometimes waiting years. And you have to go through all of these hoops to prove that you're trans. And so I think there's a lot of things we do that creates unnecessary barriers when we should just trust that people know who they are or we'll figure it out, and that you're not on a particular timeline. Like maybe you find that or figure that out later in life. And I think some of that comes back to education too. So I really look at the media and the stories that are represented or not, as well as what do we teach people. So I think both of those play a huge role into acceptance, knowledge, awareness, and all of that fun stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the role that yourself and myself are playing right now in the education is really important, but allowing people to be curious. You know, we're not just saying, if you don't know, please leave now. We're saying, no, if you don't know, that's okay. And come and ask questions and come and explore and come and do a bit of research, because it is okay. You know, we can't, I always say the only person we're an expert in is ourselves. And even then, I don't necessarily know everything about myself. I'm learning new things every day. So it is okay to be unsure and to want to learn more. And I guess one of the things we've shared, which is something I've shared ever since the beginning of season one of Over the Rainbow, is I always ask my guests to introduce themselves using their pronouns as well. So I think that's a really important point we need to touch on as well. What are pronouns, and I guess, why do we share them?
Yeah, pronouns can bring up a lot for folks. I think, like, because some of us may have learned about them so long ago in any formal education that it's just we forget what they are. And so how I tend to describe them are pronouns can be a placeholder for someone's name. And they don't belong to any particular genders. And you can use whichever pronouns you want. There's also people who don't use any pronouns. And when I'm talking about pronouns, I mean third person pronouns. So examples of first person would be I, me, mine, or for second person pronouns, you and yours. And then third person pronouns are when we're talking about someone, whether or not they're in front of us. But if we're talking about someone, those are the pronoun sets that we're referencing. So yeah, I could say Bob and say Bob, 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 Bob. And then I get Barbara Ann by the Beach Boys stuck in my head when I give that example. But, you know, once we've identified, let's say, the subject in a sentence, then we typically use pronouns because it's a little bit easier instead of saying someone's name over and over again. And so we use it in everyday language. And I know that sometimes people think, oh, well, if you're sharing your pronouns, that means you're gay, that means you're trans. And there's a lot of misinformation out there. It doesn't mean that at all. So basically, anyone can use pronouns if they want to. And when you're doing something like normalizing the practice of sharing them and asking others for theirs, it helps create safer spaces for everyone, because this isn't just a trans issue. Like, I'm thinking back to earlier in my career when I was applying for jobs, you know, you're trying to figure out who the hiring manager is and you want to say their name. And usually we try to like make it super professional and say, Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. da-da-da. sometimes I don't know. I made gender assumptions, right? I ascribed a gender to someone. So that's gender attribution, is when we're trying to put a gender on somebody, whether or not it's how they identify. So we can be wrong in our assumptions. And so sometimes I used to look for clues in names to figure out, well, is that like a man's name, a woman's name? I don't really know, you know? And so some are very, what we would consider to be gender neutral, et cetera. So all that to say, for me, it's very similar to when we're trying to figure out what title or honorific to use for someone, like in front of their name, if we're, again, being professional, whatever that means, because gosh, we need to change that definition too. But yeah, so I've made it a little bit more complicated than I probably needed to, but I just wanted to relate it to another way. So all that to say that we shouldn't assume someone's pronouns. And what I do is, until I know someone's pronouns, I use they, them as a default.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
No, it was really useful. And I think that background was really interesting, but also the tips and the emphasizing the point that it isn't just a trans thing, as people like to say, it's a people thing. We all have pronouns and we all use them in everyday life. You know, some people, you don't even realize until you start thinking about it, how often you use them. And like you said, how often you actually may misattribute pronouns to someone, and that can be really damaging. So I guess from that, we've already talked about being curious and wanting to educate yourself. And I'm sure some listeners will have some questions that they've maybe wanted to ask, maybe thought to ask before, and they're never quite sure what's an appropriate question and what's an inappropriate question to ask a trans person. So let's start with the appropriate questions. What are some appropriate questions that you could be asking trans folk or asking when you're wanting to learn more about what transgender identity is?
For me, it kind of depends, because if this is a situation where someone has just disclosed who they are to you, right? Like maybe they've just shared that they're trans with you. I always coach people through saying, thank you. Like, we don't owe anyone our stories. We don't owe anyone our disclosure. And we're not tricking anyone. It's a personal thing. And so anytime, whether it's for the trans community or anything else under the LGBTQ+ umbrella, or just anything else personal, I start with thanking people. And I encourage others to do the same, because someone's being vulnerable with us. And then I encourage folks to assess the energy, like if they're nervous or if they're excited. And in some cases, it's appropriate to say something like congratulations as well, like after saying thank you. And so I'm thinking an example to make it a little bit more concrete is, I've recently had two different friends of mine who have been questioning their gender identities over the past year. And they recently both came out to me or disclosed to me separately. One is identifying as both a woman and genderqueer, and the other is non-binary and maybe some other terms I'm not aware of at this moment, and both changed their pronoun sets as well. And because I know that both of them have been on this long journey, it's been something they've been really nervous about, and they weren't even sure if they could get curious and explore that, I congratulated them. And it was the right move, because they wanted to be celebrated. So that said, after that moment, I think one of the first questions you can ask someone is, what are your pronouns, in case there's been a change with that and that they didn't share that with you, and also sharing yours if you'd like. I think it's really helpful, like if you're going to ask someone for their pronouns, to always share yours first. And then outside of that, how can I support you? Who else knows? Would you like to talk more about it? Is there anyone you need help with disclosing to? How do you want me to handle certain situations? All of those things are really helpful, because if you're talking about someone in the past, for example, if their gender is woman, then you're probably going to want to say, oh yeah, when she was a little girl, da da da. You wouldn't say little boy, right? You want to be gender affirming. And maybe if people are getting if you have a new name and new pronoun sets, you know, asking them, you know, do you want me to correct other people? Or are there any exceptions for where you want me to use those? Because part of it too is a lot of us may have to compartmentalize who we are, you know, thinking about your calendar. If you're working, when you're at home, when you're with yourself, when you're with various groups, if you're in like a school or university setting, can you bring your full self into those spaces? Sometimes we can't, either because there's laws that are keeping us from doing that. Like here in the States, we've been having, and I know in the UK, there's been a lot as well, especially around things like conversion therapy. But here in the States, we have a lot of legislation that says you can't even say gay, you can't say trans. That's something that people have been trying to get away with and making law. So all of that is why I come back to let's thank people and let's congratulate them and ask them how we can best support them. And those things don't all have to happen at the same time. So all of those questions I referenced as far as how can I support you? Do you want to talk about it? Like, you don't have to bombard the person and like get those all in immediately. You know, maybe they like need a hug or something or want to talk about basketball instead. I don't know, because the nerves of sharing something like that, but also just like not making it a big deal. I think we can err on the side of being more like the sky is blue. This is just another part of who you are, you know, so we can congratulate them, but it doesn't necessarily have to change who they are to us, how we interact with them and things like that, that I think people can get nervous about. And depending on your relationship with them, I think it's also helpful to check in with various terms you might use to describe your relationship. So for example, I know a handful of trans women who have kids and they still proudly wear the badge of being a dad. That's not exactly affirming for women usually. However, for them it is, because they still consider themselves to be dad, you know? And so it may be that, yeah, you want to ask them, oh, should I now call you my brother, or things like that too. So again, all with the point of wanting to be affirming of that person.
Yeah, I love that. It's all centered around affirmation and support, isn't it? And that is the ethos we want to bring to any queer identity when someone shares that identity with you, is to be supportive. And ways to not be supportive are to ask inappropriate or invasive questions, which we know do happen and they can be really damaging. So whilst they may be pretty obvious to some of us, let's just go through them just in case. What are maybe some inappropriate questions to ask trans folk?
There's so many.
Yeah, we cannot list them all.
There are so many. However, I think a lot of them boil down to curiosity around medical transition, which is a type of transition that people may or may not want to explore. I think some folks are quick to ask after someone has just disclosed to them, oh, are you getting the surgery, of which there is no one surgery and not everyone wants to do that. Or just other things that are really invasive. Like sometimes people may be curious and want to know, like, how did you figure that out, et cetera. But people can be private. They're allowed their privacy and they may not want to answer questions like that. And so there are exceptions. And that may be if you're a medical provider or if you're going to be intimate with someone, that can open up more doors. But I don't want to encourage folks to think that trans people are sensitive or something and need great tenderness or whatever. But, you know, approaching with some sensitivity of like, hey, you know, if we're going to be maybe sexually intimate, I'd like to ask you some questions and have those conversations. So like, for example, turning what would maybe be an inappropriate question into a more appropriate one is if you're going to be physical with someone in a sexual way, asking them, you know, what are affirming terms for you? Like, what do you want me to call you? What do you want me to call specific body parts? Things like that, because that can get really tricky and crunchy. And so they may not necessarily use terms or words that we're either familiar with or that we would think they would want for us to use for them. So that's an example of, again, some exceptions for what might be considered more inappropriate. However, yeah, just anything where you're centering your own curiosity and it really doesn't serve your relationship with that person. You know, it's more just like you want to know, or you've been saving up all of your questions for someone and now you have a trans person before you and you're like, haha, you are my Google. And I say that not encouraging everyone to just go Google everything all the time, because I don't think that's the answer either. There can be a lot of misinformation spread, as we've come to find with the internet, right? So I think there's a delicate balance, and that can be the difference of, oh, I'm not familiar with non-binary. What is that? And asking someone, oh, non-binary, what does that mean to you? There's a huge difference between those two questions. So also checking for things like tone, how you're asking for stuff. And again, centering their experience, their stories, and not asking them to speak on behalf of an entire community that is incredibly diverse and opinionated, etc. So I think that's how I would answer that question.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And I think the only thing I'd maybe add, and this may not work for everyone because there are some people out there who are very open just because they are, and that's fine, but I'd always mm-hmm. like to think, what would I consider an invasive question for someone asking me? And if you think I would find that inappropriate, then it is inappropriate to ask someone else. And I think that that is quite a useful baseline and starting point as well.
Yeah, sometimes I think that could absolutely be a really helpful way of navigating that.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned medical transition, and that's sort of the next point that I wanted to talk about is the process of transitioning. And I know that not all trans folk do transition, and we'll talk about that as well. But then I think it'll be useful to explore the types of transition that are available if there are any trans folk listening that are maybe wondering what these next steps might look like for them.
The way that I tend to break it down is that I, present day, consider there to be three types of transition that's available to us. There's social transition, which means who we might disclose to, names that we share with people, if we're sharing our pronouns with people, and if there's any changes there. So that there's that social transition piece. Then there's the medical piece that people harp on a lot. And then that includes things like gender affirming surgeries, hormone replacement therapy. We've also seen with youth, it's safe for them to use puberty blockers to delay a puberty that they do not want, and especially if they maybe need more time to think about gender and what that means for them and their future. And there's other things with that too, like figuring out, do I maybe want kids in the future? You might have to make some medical decisions about either storing sperm somewhere or saving eggs or things like that, just so you can at least have the option in the future if also, again, you're not sure. So there's that piece. And then there's also legal transition. And so then that means if we're able to legally change our name, if that's something we want to do, gender markers, things like that. So those are the three main themes with transition. And to your point, people may decide to only socially transition. It could be socially and legally, or it can also be medically. And you don't have to do all three to be quote unquote trans enough. So yeah, it may be hard again for folks to think, well, why would someone not want surgery if they're trans? And that can be for a lot of reasons. It could be because they may have health concerns that may put them at a greater risk, or there's other things that they have to consider or treat before they can consider that. Or yeah, it just, I mean, there's so many reasons. And so they don't owe it to anyone other than themselves to decide what's going to be best for them. But that's typically what we will see with transition.
Thank you for that. I think that's been really helpful. And I think that point about you not having to reach a certain step or level, so you don't have to complete all three transitions, as it were, to be valid in your gender and your gender identity, is such an important point. And it's one that is constantly undermined by rhetoric online or in the media. And yeah, so I think that is just a really important point to emphasize. And I think, I mean, we've already shared, or you rather have already shared, some fantastic tips on how to be an ally in terms of the appropriate questions you can ask, congratulating and supporting transfolk. But are there any other ways that stick out for you in that would help listeners be better allies to transfolk?
Being aware of what's happening. So if you're in the UK, being aware of what's happening with conversion therapy and why certain folks are trying not to include transgender people in those protections of not being forced into conversion therapy and things like that. I think listening to other people's experiences and watching media, especially if it's told by people who are trans, one of my favorite documentaries, and I'm not sure if it's available outside of the States, but it's called Disclosure, and it's by Laverne Cox, who is a wonderful activist and actress and was in Orange is the New Black. That's usually how people might know her. But she produced this documentary called Disclosure, and it, you know, as a trans person, it's really hard to watch at times, but you can see how society has treated us and the kind of roles that we tend to get, especially based on if we're a trans woman or if we're a trans man or if we're non-binary. And it's just fascinating. But I think listening to trans people and when they say what they need, doing that. So whether it's, you know, asking you to share your own pronouns, it could be in your email signature, your social media bios and things like that, you know, just helping normalize those kinds of practices. But again, also just being aware of what's going on in your local community. Is your state or your residents trying to pass something that's anti-trans? Like right now in the States, we have a lot banning specifically trans girls in sports, which makes no sense to me. And it has implications for cisgender women as well. And cisgender, just because we didn't define it yet, cisgender is when your sex assignment at birth is in alignment with your gender. So, yeah, it's also hurting cisgender women because now they're being questioned about maybe if they're trans and then potentially going to be forced to do like genital inspections and all sorts of invasive things. So it's not only hurting the trans community, it's also, it hurts everyone. It really hurts everyone. And so I think those are some of the ways. And recognizing that I know sometimes we learn about the golden rule, right? Treat others the way that you want to be treated, but we don't all want to be treated the same, and we don't all need the same things. And so I've been adopting the platinum rule, and the platinum rule says treat others the way they want to be treated. And so that means we have to have a conversation, you know, and say, like, how do you feel supported? What would feel good to you in this moment? And listening and doing that.
I think that all those are just absolute, just really simple steps that everyone could enact immediately in their life. You know, we're not saying that everyone needs to make some massive grand gesture or that being an ally to anyone, not just trans folk, is it's hard. It's actually pretty easy to just be a decent human if you just take the time to learn those things. So I think that is something that everyone can take away. And I know you've already mentioned some incredible resources for people who are wanting to be an ally or for trans people themselves, but are there any other resources that you want to share for trans folk or people questioning their gender?
Absolutely. If you're a young person, 24 or under, Trevor Space is a wonderful online forum for you. It's created by the Trevor Project in the States, but it's their international program. And I think to date, still the only international program they have. But I used to work on that project for like 2.5 years to make sure that it was safe for them and they got resources and things like that. And gosh, it's just inspiring the way youth can show up for each other. So I just wanted to offer that because a lot of youth might be in countries where it's even illegal to be trans or their families aren't accepting, or maybe there aren't nearly as many resources as there are in places like the States or the UK. So I would just offer that, especially if there's any youth in your life. And even if they're like not in distress, they don't have to be in distress to be on that website. They don't have to like be thinking about suicide, for example, which can be why some of them are there. But yeah, the way they support each other, the way they show up for each other, share resources, share their stories, silliness, all of it, it's a really lovely space. Outside of that, I mean, it really just depends what you're looking for. So, you know, there's a lot of really great social groups. So if you like hiking, there's websites like Meetup that will allow you to find others who share your same interests. So I've been on hiking groups or in hiking groups before with like various people within the LGBTQ plus community, and it just feels really good. Or if you have a local LGBT center, then they tend to offer really great things like support groups and activities, like maybe there's like workshops or an art night or things like that. So just seeing what's in your local community and just again asking on Google or something like that. And yeah, there's so many resources, but I would say some of the most helpful places I've heard from other people, especially specifically who are trans, are finding different communities on places like Reddit, because if they're also afraid of just saying anything out loud because they're not really sure if they're trans or not, or they feel like an imposter, things like that, I think the confidentiality or anonymity we can find online can help us to unmask a bit and share those intimate parts of ourselves and question things like that. So I just threw a lot of different resources out there, but those are some of the ones I think that have helped people the most.
Amazing. And again, we'll definitely link them all to the show notes, but I really love that you brought up and mentioned the fact that there are resources out there beyond finding information about your gender identity, which obviously play a very important role in people's lives, but also trans people are humans first and foremost with interests outside of their gender identity. So maybe you want to read a book, maybe you want to go for a hike with people, maybe you want to listen to music, and all those resources are out there for you as well, which is really, really useful.
Yeah, the only other thing I want to shove in there is like YouTube, places like YouTube or Tumblr or even on TikTok or Instagram. There are people who are sharing about their personal lives and they're showing their transition. I mean, it's really common for trans guys to get really excited about testosterone if they take that or decide to. And you hear sometimes progression clips. They're like 1 month on testosterone, 3 months. And like, you just hear them getting more excited and more confident, things like that. I think that can be really affirming for folks. If you don't have access to purchasing something like a binder, there's great resources. Like people will have YouTube videos and maybe share resources about where you can apply to get them for free. Like there's also used binder programs and yeah, or just how to be confident and go swimming and be safe. There's so many things. So depending what you're looking for, there are people who have already from the community, you know, from the trans community, who have likely already created resources for you so that you're not alone in this and you have someone to ask all those like maybe awkward and uncomfortable questions, for example, like how can I dress myself in a way that I'm more confidently coming off as a woman to people, again, whatever the heck that means. Or there's even sometimes, I can't remember if it's Sephora or Mac or one of those, they'll even host like trans specific makeup tutorials and things so that if you didn't have someone to teach you about like foundation, concealer, all that fun stuff, like they guide you through that, you know, very, very gently and everything. So there's just, I think present day, just so many more resources we have access to that it's just absolutely incredible. And again, also acknowledging there's a lot of privilege there because they're not going to be everywhere. But again, if it's not something you have in your local area, I imagine there's got to be a YouTube tutorial or something like that online that helps explain it and break it down for you.
Yeah, the internet has a lot nowadays, and it is fantastic to see. And the camaraderie and the receptivity to helping each other is just absolutely fantastic. And I guess off the back of that, you are a fellow podcaster, and you have a resource to help people as well. Your podcast is called Allyship is a Verb. Do you want to tell me more about that and where we can find you?
Absolutely. So the website for it is allyshipisaverb.com, and I started it last August, so in 2021, because I mean, with ADHD, it just got really hard to narrow down a topic for a podcast, but I felt really moved to do that. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait, allyship. And so I interview people from within the LGBTQ plus community, and we talk about their stories, and each person shares out an allyship tip. Ideally something that's also like that would affirm them as a person. And, you know, it's not saying you have to do all of these things, but it's just something to think about and you know, you could ask someone like, hey, would you want me to do this for you kind of thing? And what I love about it too is I anticipated a certain listenership, but far and away, it's mostly queer and trans people themselves who listen. And I actually really love that because I find that, you know, regardless of what initialism or acronym you use, so whether it's LGBTQ plus or GLBT or whichever, SOGI, any of those, quilt bag even, I don't hear that one as much these days, but that was a fun one. You know, I feel like we're not always great about practicing allyship to each other. So I'm intentionally seeking people from various lived experiences and backgrounds to talk about their intersecting identities, because they're not just trans, right? So like their whiteness, their disabilities, all that can like impact their values and how they grew up, all of that. And so we just get into all of that. And we even talk about just humanizing allyship. So many people are afraid to take the steps because one of the biggest fears they have is what happens when I make a mistake? And it's like, well, you're going to. So the sooner you can just accept that and recognize that all of us make mistakes, the better. But I do give people concrete tips about how to apologize, when to apologize. So as a quick example, if you make a mistake with someone's name or their pronouns, one of the best ways to tackle that is to just self-correct. So you just rephrase and keep talking about whatever you were saying. So if you're like, oh, Riley, oh, I mean, Chris Angel, you know, and then you just keep going. And the reason why is because it's really great role modeling for other people and you don't need to bring more attention to it. But, you know, if let's say you've done that like five or so times now, you're going to want to pull that person aside and apologize. And what that could look like is something like, hey, Michael, I just want to acknowledge I have not been great about using your pronouns. I understand that it doesn't feel good to be misgendered, and I am taking steps to be better about that. I appreciate your patience. And the reason why we don't want to say sorry out of the gate is because if the person who's impacted is the one correcting you, we're already doing the emotional labor of the awkwardness that can be correcting you and bringing your attention to this. So then if we further feel like we have to maybe soothe you or something or make you feel better about it, it's just, again, more emotional labor for us. And like, yeah. So in discourse I've seen online, a lot of folks would prefer if you self-correct and move on. And if you're going to apologize, that it's a bit more of a private thing and not like an acting debut apology where you're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I did. Like, no, we don't need to do that. So that's what my podcast is about, is we are going to make mistakes and let's just normalize this as a practice. Let's know how to do better, how to apologize, and really listen to people and ask them what feels affirming and supportive to them.
Yeah. Honestly, I am huge on allyship, and particularly within the queer community, between the queer community. That is something I speak about so much within my own research, within my own life. So the fact that that resource is there for people is just, oh, it makes my heart sing. And I do really urge everyone to go and check it out. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. If just because also I'm a nerdy educator, something, the last thing I'll share about that is I also have self-reflection questions. So there's like a few, like, well, it ends up being six, but now in the most recent season, I'll do like three before and three after, just things to think about while you're listening to the conversation, and then things to think about after the fact, and, you know, what may or may not be applicable in your life or people that you are close to, work with, etc. And I also include a bunch of different resources with each episode. So yes, if that sounds interesting at all to folks, I am pretty silly. Sometimes I'll sing or something on there, which really just means nothing. It just comes out. So, but yes, I really want to make sure that I am amplifying other people's stories and their work and all of that. So I'm always tickled when people listen, and yeah, just even really excited that I have a second season now. I didn't think that was going to happen. The pod fade and burnout is real.
No, it's happening. It's still going. That's brilliant.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Awesome. And just to finish off, I'd like you to share a recommendation of a queer book, show, or business that you want to plug. So we've mentioned so many resources today, but what's something that you really love right now?
Yeah, if there's any parents out there or folks who want to have more resources for raising their kids in particular to be inclusive and empathic and all of that fun stuff, One of my friends, who also was a guest on my podcast, his name is Chris Tompkins. He wrote a book called Raising LGBTQ Allies. And he talks about why he's passionate about it and gives various tips and stories and things like that. And so if that's something you're looking for, I think that's really great. But it's also cool just to hear about another person's story as well. So that's something I would like to promote, because otherwise I would just want to promote Heartstopper, and I feel like everyone kind of knows about it at this point. So yeah,
I mean,
but like, let's also
valid.
Shove that in there. Yeah. 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 So let's shove that in there too, but also my friend's book.
Yeah. Amazing. Great resources and recommendations. Thank you. Well, thank you, Chris Angel. I have loved this conversation. I was super excited for it, and I've been really happy to have you on the show. So thank you for taking the time to come today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, Rachel, and thank you for all of your questions and getting into some potentially crunchy topics with me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening today. New episodes are available every other Wednesday, so please do download, share, and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss a thing. Our topics are designed to be engaging, so if you have any questions or feedback, please do get in touch. You can find us on Instagram at @_OverTheRainbowPodcast, Facebook at @OverTheRainbowPodcast13, and Twitter at @OverRainbowPod. We also have a queer book club, Reading the Rainbow, so if you want to join us in reading the queer universe, please check out our website or Facebook page for more information. Have a queer week, and I'll see you over the rainbow.